This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ولما جاء عيسى بالبينات قال قد جئتكم بالحكمة ولأبين لك
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. So we are back to our tafsir lessons again, ولله الحمد. By the grace of Allah عز وجل, we're back to tafsir, and tafsir is going to continue to be on a Friday. However, it won't be in the Asr time because I have a commitment, a class which is online for Al-Madrasatul Umariya. And this class for Al-Madrasatul Umariya takes place in the Friday after Asr time. So the time that we have is 10 o'clock after Maghrib. Inshallah, Maghrib will keep getting earlier. So inshallah, it will not be so late next time. But wallah, it's a nice time to sit in the masjid between Maghrib and Isha. Maybe we will take, 45 minutes or so, inshaAllah ta'ala. We came to a brand new surah because if you remember last time, we finished Suratul Buruj. And if you remember, we finished Suratul Buruj and the goal was to do the tafsir of Juz'u Amma until the tafsir of Juz Tabarak as well. So we had a goal of two Juz. And so far we passed a quarter, and we passed half of Juz Amma. Half of Juz Amma is from Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la. And now we came to Surah Al-Buruj and we finished it. Surah Al-Tariq and Surah Al-Buruj and we finished it. And so now we come to Surah Al-Inshiqaq. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, and as we remember for those people who might be joining us new, we are taking this tafsir from Tafsir Ibn Kathir generally, but we're taking it from a summary. So we're not taking it everything that Ibn Kathir said, but we're kind of following the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. We're going along with the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, the summary of it, which is called Al-Misbah Al-Munir. There are many summaries of Ibn Kathir, but this is one of them called Al-Misbah Al-Munir. And I have some of the comments of Sheikh Khalid As-Sabt, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. The Sheikh has some very beautiful comments on the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and we sometimes read some of those comments as well. So that's the format of the class. It's not too heavy, inshallah. It shouldn't be really hard, but it shouldn't also be too light, just one or two words. We try to understand the ayat in a little bit of detail as well. Surah Al-Inshiqaq is Makkiya. That's the first thing Ibn Kathir said. He said, Wahiya Makkiya. It's a surah that it was revealed in the Meccan period when the Prophet ﷺ was in Mecca in the beginning of his prophethood, alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is when this surah was revealed. Generally, what do we know about the surahs which are Makkiya? What are some of the things you expect? Not always, but generally you expect the surah which is Makkiya to contain, versus that surah which is Madaniyah, which was revealed in the time of Medina. Just one thing that we had already mentioned a few things before. What's one thing that you expect? You know how it was in Mecca, how were the Muslims like in Mecca at that time? And when they went to Medina, they had a state, they had a country, they had for want of a better word, political power and power over the land. In Mecca, they were in a state of being you know, being the people who are being oppressed, what do you think that the surah or the surah which are Makkiya, they usually contain? What's the kind of topics? They talk about Tawheed, about the oneness of Allah. And that doesn't mean you don't talk about Tawheed in the surah that are Madaniya. You expect that the surah is going to be talking about Allah, you know, attaching people's heart to Allah. Remember, these are new Muslims, the very beginning of their Islam. You know, maybe they have only been Muslim for a very short time and they are in a state of oppression. They are suffering. So the surah are generally going to attach your heart to Allah, talk about Iman, generally about the, you know, about believing in Allah, about believing in the last day, about the prophets and so on, that kind of the stories of the prophets which raise your Iman. That's the kind of things you're going to find. Generally, the surah that are Madaniya, that were from the time of Medina, you still find that, but you find more of what? What do you find more of? What increased massively in Medina that was not much of it in Mecca? And in Medina, increased so much.
The rules.
Perfect. Rules. Battles as well. So you expect that the discussion on jihad and fighting is more likely to be, not all, because you do get some in the Makki surahs, but most of the, at least the ahkam and the rules are going to be in the surahs that were revealed in Medina. You're going to find more of the rules. More of, because remember in the time in Mecca, that the acts of worship which the Muslims were doing, not all of the acts of worship were there. There was no, there was some salah, but not like until the very end of the Meccan period was the salah, five times a day regular. That there was no zakah at that time, there was no jihad at that time, there was no hajj at that time, there was no fasting Ramadan at that time. So for sure in the Madani surahs you're going to find ahkam, rules and regulations and laws. And in the Makkiya, the surah that are Makkiya, you're going to find less. But it's not an absolute. And we also said you shouldn't judge the surah by the content, if it's Makkiya or Madaniya. Like for example, you said this surah has jihad, so it cannot be Makkiya. No, there are surahs which Allah tells about what will happen in the future. You will fight the disbeliever in the future. So it's not, you can't just look at the content and say, you should base it on the text, on the revelation and on the, you know, the ahadith and so on. You shouldn't base it upon the content, but just to get an idea of the content. So this surah is a surah which is Makkiya, and it is like many of the surah which are Makkiya, it deals with al-yawm al-akhir, the last day. And it is a complete journey through the events of the last day. From the beginning of the moment of the blowing of the horn until the issue of paradise and hellfire. And Ibn Kathir, he began it by mentioning that this is a surah in which there is a sajdatu tilawa. There's a sajda of reciting the Quran. We said that there are 15 of those in the Quran which are spread out. I believe 14 are agreed upon, and one of them there is some disagreement, but it's correct. So there are 15 places in the Quran in which there is a place of sajdatu tilawa. And we said sajdatu tilawa is mustahabba, it's recommended. So if you don't do it, you're not sinful, but you should try to do it whenever you can. And you do it when you are reciting or when you are actively listening. Actively listening meaning you are intending to listen to that person reciting the Quran. You don't need to do it for a tape or for a recording. But if you are listening to somebody reciting Quran and you are actually, you know, you are intending to listen to them, then it is also mustahabba for you to make sajdat tilawah. The sajda is a sajda like the normal sajda that you do, in which you say the same Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, and you can add to that the different du'as that are there for sajda to tilawah. The evidence is the hadith that al-Bukhari narrated from Abi Rafi' qal sallaytu ma'a Abi Hurayrata al-Atama. I prayed the Atama prayer with Abi Hurayrah. Do you know what the Atama prayer is? We did it in Bulugh al-Maram. Al-Atama. It's Isha. The Isha prayer. Sallaytu ma'a Abi Hurayrata al-Atama. I prayed the Isha prayer with Abi Hurayrah. Faqara ila as-sama'u shaqqat. He recited ila as-sama'u shaqqat. Fasajad. And at the end of it, he, or you know, during the surah, he made sajda, sajda tilawah. فَقُلْتُ لَهُ I asked him about it. I talked to him about it. Why did you do this? فَقَالَ سَجَدْتُ خَلْفَ أَبِي الْقَاسِمِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَلَا أَزَالُ أَسْجُدُ بِهَا حَتَّى أَلْقَاهُ He said, I made sajda for this in this surah behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know Abu al-Qasim is the kunya of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? That's his nickname that he took, his kunya, Abu al-Qasim, the father of al-Qasim. And he said, I prayed behind Abu al-Qasim, behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he made sajda. So I'm not going to stop doing it until I meet him. Meaning until I meet him Yawm al-Qiyamah, insha'Allah ta'ala, at the Hawd, the place where the Prophet ﷺ will give the believers a drink. When they drink from it, they will never be thirsty again. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from those people. So he said, I'm not going to stop doing it. And that's how the Sahaba used to be. I saw the Prophet ﷺ do it. I'm not going to stop doing this good deed until I meet him again. Until I meet him again. And that's how the Sahaba used to be generally. It's how, remember what's narrated about Aisha, وَكَانَتْ Aisha. إِذَا عَمِلَتْ عَمَلًا لَزِمَتْهُ When Aisha, she used to do something, she used to stick to it. She didn't used to do it and then stop and then do it and then stop and do it for a while and stop. When she would do something, she would stick to it. When I start, I will not stop. And that's something that wallah, all of us are missing in this time, you know, that we go through ups and downs, you know. I attend lectures and then I don't attend them. And I, you know, or even I give lectures and then I don't give them. And then I pray my sunnah prayers and then I don't pray my sunnah prayers. And then I fast Mondays and Thursdays and then I don't fast Mondays and Thursdays. But you try to be someone, as much as you can, you will not, you know, istaqimu wa lan tuhsu, you will not be perfect. But you try your best to make habits. And when you start a habit, you try not to stop. So Abu Huraira said, I'm not going to stop making sajda when I read this surah, because I did it behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he made sajda for it. So this surah, it talks about Yawm al-Qiyamah, and it talks about the situation of man as mankind goes through that journey, which is the inevitable journey. And you cannot escape it. It's the journey that every single one of us has to go through. وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا Every one of you will pass over the hellfire. Every single one. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ Every single person is going to die. Every single one of us is going to die. And every single one of us, when we die, our death will not be the end. Not for anyone. مُسْلِمْ كَافِرْ مُنَافِقْ fasiq, salih, whatever they are, they will not, that will not be the end. That will be the beginning of a journey that they cannot escape. There is no way out. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. The pains of death came in truth. That's what you were trying to avoid. It's what you are trying to pretend it's not going to happen to you. وَغَرَّهُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُّ. They became deceived by the shaitan that their life is going to last forever and ever and they're not going to die. And so this surah talks about the inevitable journey of mankind and what will happen and the events that will take place, Yawm al-Qiyamah. And then at the end of the surah talks about the fact that even though we have been told this by Allah, still you see people who are disbelieving. Still you see people who are turning away. Still you see people who are not taking the reminder. And just today, in the masjid after Maghrib, it was announced that a brother, rahimahullah ta'ala, he passed away. Rahimahullah rahmatan wasi'a. Allah give him vast mercy. May Allah bestow his vast mercy. But wallahi, how many people will die? And how many janaiz will you pray over before you realize that the next one or the next one might be you? And you act for what is going to come after. Man amila lima ba'd al-maut, the one who acts for what is going to come after. And their struggle and their efforts in this dunya are for what is going to come in the akhirah. Not getting, making all these efforts for job and some small amount of money, some small amount of happiness, some small amount of luxury. And probably most of them don't get it either. They waste their time and perhaps they turn away from Allah, they disobey Allah, they disbelieve in Allah, some of them. Some of them don't practice their religion or they turn away from the religion for the matter of a few days. And they don't see that maybe the next janazah that they pray will not be somebody else. Maybe that next janazah that they pray will be you or maybe it will be me. A person has to لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَاعِدُ. You have to prepare yourself for that. And so the surah at the end, after telling the situation of the qiyamah and what will happen, talks about the disbelief of people after they know, after Allah has told them, after the revelation came, and still they're behaving as though they will not die. They're behaving as though they will not be resurrected. They're behaving as though they will not be, as though they will not be questioned. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. The surah is called Surah Al-Inshiqaq. And inshiqaq comes from this word shaqqat. And a shiqq is when something is split in half. Like the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ittaqi an-nara walau bi shiqqi tamra. Protect yourself from the hellfire even if it is only with half a date. And the statement of Allah, wa may yushaqiq ar-rasul. What does it mean, yushaqiq ar-rasul? That the Rasul is on one side and they are on the other side. And there is a big gap, you know, split apart. And so the Rasul is on one side and they are not on the same side. They're opposing. They're going against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is in one place and they are on the other side. يُشَاقِقُ الرَّسُولُ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى. After the guidance came to them, وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They follow away other than the way of the believers. نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى. We're going to entrust them to what they've chosen for themselves. وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ. And we're going to put him into Jahannam. وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. So يُشَاقِقْ in that sense is that the Rasul is on one side and you're on the other side. So splitting something apart, cleaving something apart, cutting something apart. This is from the word of, or the meaning of the word شَقَّة. So Allah said, إِلَى السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ. When the heavens will be split open. The heavens will be split open. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will split open the heavens when Allah Azza wa Jalla commands for the sa'a to come, the hour to come. And remember, the hour is one moment in time. It's not when you die, but there is a time, a specific time, when everyone on the earth will die. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. That the horn will be blown. And when the horn is blown, everyone who is still alive on the earth, whoever is still alive, and they will be the worst of the people, because the hour will not come except upon the worst of the people. أَشْرَارُ الْخَلْقِ, the most evil of the people. When they die, when the hour comes to them, they and the horn is blown, they will die. Then there will be a gap of 40. 40. They said, is it 40 years or 40 months, 40 days, 40 hours, 40 minutes? The narrator said, I don't know. I don't remember. I only remember the Prophet ﷺ said 40. 40 something. The next horn will be blown. ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى. Then all the people, for those who are dead from before, and those who died when the horn was blown, all of them will stand up. فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُ. They will be standing up and they will be looking around. So at this moment, it begins when Allah Azza wa Jal commands for the horn to be blown and the sky will be split up. And Allah talks about different things, and in the surahs which are coming, إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ, the sun will be wound up. We know the sun will rise from the west instead of the east. And the sun will be wound up, and it will no longer go in its orbit. And it will no longer give light to the earth. It will be wound up. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ, the sky will be cleaved open. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْشَقَّتْ, the sky will be split apart. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. أَذِنَتْ, it means أَذِنَتْ, it means that it will استمعت, and it will listen to Allah. The word أَذِنَ here, it doesn't mean أَذِنَ like give permission. أَذِنَ means استمع. And you, like from the word أذن, your ear. It will listen to Allah. وَحُقَّتْ. For حُقَّتْ, there are two different opinions I want to mention to you. One is that حُقَّتْ means it must do so. وَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا أَنْ تَسْتَمِعْ. It has to listen to the command of Allah. It must be that it will listen to the command of Allah. Or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it a reality. Allah will make it حَقِيقَةً. Allah will make it happen. So when the earth is split up, when the heaven is split up, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ, and it will listen to the command of Allah, and it has to do so. There is a great benefit in this, which is that when you see a creation which is so huge, like the heavens, and look at the universe, it's huge, right? I mean, I remember going to a museum. There is a museum in Mecca, well, there was, I guess it's still there, in the clock tower in Mecca, this museum about space and the universe. And wallah, when you see the size of the universe, it is just, like, you cannot find words for how huge the sama is, the heavens are. But when Allah commands them, straight away it's done. So it's not, you know, when you think about that, you think about, look at you, ayyuhal insan, or person, human being. How many times Allah commands you, you don't listen. How many times Allah commands you, the first time, you don't take that command and follow it. The heavens, which is huge, billions and billions and billions of times bigger than you. And when Allah commands it, وَحُقَّتْ, it has to listen. And it obeys Allah willingly. And also when you think about how huge the heavens are, and then you think about how easily Allah rips them apart. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ, Allah tears them apart, breaks them apart, splits them open. You know how difficult it is when they talk about splitting an atom, you know, just the atom. And they had to do all of this, how much research and science and what, to try to do, you know, this small, like nuclear power and so on. This issue of just to split that, the atom. And how easy is it for Allah Azza wa Jal to split the heavens completely open? It's not hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you realize how serious this situation is. That something so great as the heavens, Allah splits them open in an instant. And that something so great as the heavens obeys Allah instantly, even when we disobey Allah. إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَا أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. We offered the responsibility of Islam, of the Sharia, to the heavens and the earth and the mountains. فَأَبَيْنَا أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَهَا, they declined it, they said, oh Allah, we do not want to take this responsibility. وَأَشْفَقْنَا مِنْهَا, they were scared of it. Can you imagine the universe, the heavens, were scared to have the responsibility of Islam. They got scared. وَأَشْفَقْنَا مِنْهَا, they were terrified of it. They didn't want to take that responsibility. وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ, but man took it on. It's okay. We don't think it's a big deal. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll take the responsibility. SubhanAllah, how these huge creation, things in creation, huge objects in creation, obey Allah so quickly and are so scared to take on responsibility. And how Allah destroys them in an instant. And it's not difficult for Him. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ, and when the earth is, there are two things that are said about muddat. Mudda meaning basata, meaning spread out, flattened. And mudda from tamdid, meaning to be extended. And it seems like Ibn Jarir rahimahullah ta'ala, it's a kind of join between the two of them. I flattened and extended. We know that Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the horn is blown, we know that the signs of the earth will disappear. Ma'alim al-Ard. You know the ma'alim are like the features of the earth that you know where you are. Like, how do you know you are in Gateshead? Let's say you fell asleep in the car, you are traveling back, you wake up, you know if you reach home yet or not. Like, where am I? You look around, no, this is not my place. Still, we did not reach home yet. Go back to sleep. You know it by ma'alim al-ard. The ma'alim, the features of the earth. Yeah, I recognize this hill. I recognize this place. I recognize this thing which is here. I recognize that building over there. I recognize this part of the road. Even without civilization, without buildings and roads, you still recognize al-ma'alim, the signs of the earth. This is the hill that is here. You know, even when you know you're driving, for example, Makkah to Medina, when you reach that particular part of the hills, you know where, you know, this is the place. This, after here, I'm coming to Medina. This is where Medina starts. When you're driving into Makkah and certain things you see, you pass by, that's it, I know now. This is where Makkah starts. For you know the earth by its features. All those features will be wiped out. and the earth will be flattened. There will be no signs on it, no features, nothing where you can know where you are. And that increases the terror, right? The fear. You become more scared because you don't recognize where you are, and wherever you look, you cannot recognize anything. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَوَاتِ. On the day when the earth will be replaced with another earth and the heavens. وَبَرَزُوا لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. And they will appear, they will be shown in front of, they will be presented before Allah, الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. The earth will be flattened and the earth will be extended. And the people will be gathered on the plains. Arasat al-Qiyamah. They call them Arasat al-Qiyamah. The plains. Like a desert plain. Like Arafah. Where the people are gathered. And you just see flat land, plain. And they're gathered like that. And when they wake up from their graves, how do they wake up from their graves? Hufatan, uratan, ghurla. They are barefooted, they don't have any shoes. And naked, they don't have any clothes. And uncircumcised. And it's narrated from some of the Sahaba that they said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, will the people not look at each other? Will the men not look at the women, and the women won't look at the men? Everyone is naked, everyone is barefooted, uncircumcised. Will not people look at each other?" What did the Prophet say? The matter will be too severe for that. The people will not think to look at other people out of the severity of that day. يَوْمَ يَجْعَلُ الْوِلْدَانَ شِيبًا. The day that the children's hair will turn grey. Not the hair of the adults. The children's hair will turn grey. The children who are the people who don't have any sin. How about the person who has mountains and mountains of sins and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then Allah said, وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. The earth will throw out what is in it, and it will give it up. What will the earth throw out? What's the earth going to throw out? وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. What will the earth throw out from itself when the horn is blown?
What the earth has done?
Everything that is in the earth. But what is specifically the most obvious thing that will be thrown out from the earth when the horn is blown? What do you think of the horn? What's in the earth? What we've been talking about today.
What?
People. The bodies, huh? All the people that are buried on the earth. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا. They will all be thrown out. The earth will throw them out. The earth will bring out and throw out all of the bodies of the people that have been buried on the earth. And likewise, not just the bodies, but also الْكُنُوز, the buried treasure, the things that people hid, the things people stole from each other, all of it is going to come out. وَتَخَلَّتْ. As if the earth is تَخَلَّتْ. It's like it's getting rid of it. It's like, I don't want this in. I don't want a responsibility for this. All the people who were buried in those graves, how many people, even their graves are not even known. They were buried, they were killed, or they died, and nobody knows where they are except Allah, and Allah will bring out all of them. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. Everything that is on the inside of the earth will be thrown out of it. وَتَخَلَّتْ. And the earth will give it up, will get rid of it. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. Now we already said أذنت لربها means that it will listen to its Lord وحقت, and it must do so. It must do so. Or it will listen to its Lord and Allah will make it happen. There is a question here. We already answered it before in the classes though. Why does this ayah repeat? Why repeat? Why does that? There is no, you know, repetition. The Quran is the most eloquent, the most beautiful, the most advanced, the most perfect speech. Why repeat something that has already been said? That's one reason, because it's important.
Reminder.
Because a reminder, that's another reason. To emphasize, that's another reason. There's one more reason though. Or more than one, but there's one more that we spoke about. It's important to emphasize, to remind. There's one more reason we said.
The severity of
that. That still emphasizes the severity of it. There's one more reason, which is a different reason. That is that it doesn't mean the same thing here as it does there. So for example, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبًا. How many times does it get repeated? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبًا. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبًا. Each ayah, it relates to the ayah which came before. So, for example, يَسْأَلُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبًا. The ayah here relates to this, the one that came before it. So each one is understood in light of what, in the meaning of the one that came before. So here, in the beginning, it was talking about the heavens. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. That's talking about the heavens. The heavens listens to Allah, and the heavens must do so. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ. So now the meaning is now referring to the earth. That the earth listens to the command of Allah. That the earth, all we said about the heavens, the huge heavens, the huge earth, which is one of the great creations of Allah, the earth, it listens to the command of Allah. And it has to. It's no choice. It has to listen. It listens to the command of Allah and it has to do so. And Allah makes it so. So then after Allah Azza wa Jal told us, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدَحًا فَمُلَقِي. Then it comes to the topic of mankind. Ya ayyuhal insan. O mankind. Innaka kadihun. Ila rabbika kadaha. Kadihun. You are laboring, you are exerting. We talked about it in Surah Al-Balad. Laqad khalaqna al-insana fi kabad. We created mankind in toil, not always working. Always working for something, always striving for something, always in a hardship or a difficulty of some kind, something is going on. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدَحًا. You are laboring towards Allah. You are, some of the ulama, they said, عَامِلٌ عَمَلًا. You're doing actions. You are doing deeds, whatever you are doing. But you are doing your deeds. You are struggling and striving and doing something. And you're going towards your Lord. فَمُلَاقِي. And you will definitely meet Him. Every single one then. Every single one is going to find the result of those actions that they're doing. So everyone is doing actions. Everyone is exerting themselves for something or another. for money, for fame, for happiness, for religion, for whatever. Kul ma shi'it. Whatever you think, whatever you say. Every single person is struggling and working for something. Everybody. But you're working and your efforts you're doing, for good or bad, it's bringing you near to Allah. إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدَحَ. You are going towards your Lord. Every day that passes by, you're getting nearer to the meeting with Allah. Every hour that passes by, you're getting nearer to the meeting with Allah. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدَحَ. You're working for whatever you're working for. Even these people outside is working for fame, working for money, working for happiness, working for success. You're working and your work is taking you nearer and nearer and nearer to your death. Your work is taking you nearer and nearer. So either you are working for Allah, or either you are working for the dunya, but whatever you're working for, it's taking you ila rabbik. It's taking you towards that meeting with your Lord. فَمُلَاقِي. And you are definitely, certainly going to meet with Him. يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ. The meaning here, O mankind, is the meaning here Al-Kafir only, or is the meaning here, because generally in the surah which are Makkiya, many times the word insan is used to refer to the kafir. So ya ayyuhal ladina amanu for the believers, and ya ayyuhal insan for the disbeliever. But here the next ayah tells us this for everybody. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينَ. Some of you will get the book in the right, some will get in the left. So it's not referring to the kafir here. Here it's referring to everyone. Oh man, you are كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدَحًا. You are, they say al-kadh fi al-lugha huwa al-sa'i fi al-shay' bi-juhd. You're struggling for something, you're driving yourself towards something, and you're working hard at it. بِصَرْفِ النَّظَرْ هَلْ هَذَا الْجُهْدْ فِي الْخَيْرِ أَوْ الشَّرْ. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad. So kadih doesn't mean you're trying for good. You know, you're working for Allah. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those people who strive for us, work for us, we're going to guide them. It's not that. Kadih here is general, everybody. Everyone is struggling for something. There is nobody who is not trying, got some goal, something they're working towards, something they're trying for, even if it's just to survive, just to live. Every moment of that sa'i, of that effort and that hard work is bringing them nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, أحب الأسماء إلى الله عبد الله وعبد الرحمن. The beloved names to Allah are Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. وأصدقها, which two? Harith وهمام. The two most truthful names are Harith and Hammam. Harith is someone who plants a seed. Why is it the most truthful name? Because somebody can be called Salih and he's not Salih. He's not righteous. He can be called Salih, he can be a really bad person. But someone who is Harith, everyone is planting a seed. You're all doing your actions, everything is going now to your record. Is it good? Is it bad? Every one of you is planting your seed now. وهمام from الهم and الهمة. Everyone has something which is preoccupying them, and they're thinking about it, and they're worrying about it, or they're anxious over it. Every one of you is planting a seed, and every one of you is thinking about something, trying for something. And those efforts, even if it's in the dunya, even if you're trying to be the most famous person in the world, the richest person in the world, it's getting you nearer and nearer and nearer to the meeting with Allah Azza wa Jalla. As we said, it's bringing you closer and closer to Allah. فَمُلَاقِيهِ, and you will certainly meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَغْدُ فَبَاعِمْ نَفْسَهُ فَمُعْتِقُهَا أَوْ مُبِقُهَا. Every one of you goes out in the morning. And so there are people who sell themselves and they free themselves from the hellfire. And there are those people who destroy themselves. Everyone goes out. But the result of what will happen, فَمُلَاقِي, you will certainly meet it. What will you certainly meet? From the scholars of tafsir are those who said you will certainly meet your actions. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدَحًا فَمُلَاقِي, you will meet your actions. And others, they said that it refers to you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in any case, both of those are true. You will meet your Lord and you will meet the result of your actions, whatever you did. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. Whoever is given their book in their right hand, so everyone is doing something, everyone is working, for good, for bad, everyone is going to meet the answer to their actions. Everyone is going to meet Allah. Everyone is going to meet their deeds. Yawm al-Qiyamah. Now the people will be split into two. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ. As for the one who is given their book in their right hand, what will happen to them? فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبْ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. This ayah, it was a problem for our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. She didn't understand it. Why did she not understand the ayah? Whoever is given their book in their right hand will have an easy account. Does anyone know why she found that difficult? She heard a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ say, "Man nuqisha al-hisab, udhib." Whoever has their account will be punished. Whoever has their account will be punished. Hadith sahih. The Prophet ﷺ, the hadith is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim and others. مَنْ نُوْقِشَ الْحِسَابِ عُذِّبِ. anyone who has the account will be punished. Everyone. Everybody. If Allah gives you an account, you will be punished. So how then did Allah say, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا? How can that be? She asked the Prophet ﷺ. She said, أَفَلَيْسَ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا? Look at the fiqh. She was faqiha. Aisha radiallahu anha. Straight away she said, there's an ayah. The ayah says, easy hisab. Prophet ﷺ said, everyone who has hisab is going to get punished. And Allah said, easy hisab. She asked the Prophet ﷺ, how? The Prophet ﷺ, he said to her, لَيْسَ ذَاكِ بِالْحِسَابِ. He said, that's not the hisab in the surah is not the hisab that I'm talking about. وَلَكِنْ ذَلِكَ الْعَرْضِ. That is the presentation of the deeds. مَنْ نُوقِشَ الْحِسَابِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عُذِّبْ. Everyone who has their account taken on the Day of Judgment in detail will be punished. So what does that mean? It means there are two types of hisab. There is a hisab which we would call a niqash, a detailed questioning about everything that you have done. And there is a hisab which is an ard, a presentation of the deeds. These are your good deeds, these are your bad deeds. This is something you did this, you did this, you did this. Without every single second and every single moment being questioned. Why the second and this second, why the details, the presentation of the deeds. The presentation of the deeds is what Allah said, hisaban yasira, the easy hisab. Is that Allah presents the deeds. The person takes their deeds in their right hand, their good deeds are written. Allah may ask them about the bad deeds that they did, some of them. Did you not do this? Did you not do this? Because every servant, Allah, the believers, Allah will take them by themselves. Yawm al-Qiyamah, and Allah will say, did you not do this sin? Did you not do this sin? Until the person thinks he will be destroyed, and Allah will say to him, as I concealed it for you in the dunya, I forgive it for you today. This is the art, the presentation of the deeds. It's not the niqash, which is the discussion of every single deed and every single moment and the question on every single point. Because whoever gets it to that level, that person will not survive. Because we know how our lives are. How much time we waste, how many of Allah's blessings. And the thing is, you cannot recover, because every one of these blessings is a blessing. And you doing a good deed is a blessing from Allah. And you asking Allah's forgiveness is a blessing from Allah. You can never make back the blessings Allah gave you. You can never pay them back. And you can never do justice to what Allah gave you. So you will, if you are asked for every single moment and every single action, and every single one of them you are taken to account in detail for it, no one will survive. But the one who will have hisab and yasira, the easy hisab, is the one that Allah will show him his deeds in a general sense. And Allah will say, did you not do this? Did you not do that? Did you not do this? But he will not be given this detailed niqash on every single moment and second and point that he did. And that's the meaning of the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, وَلَكِنْ ذَلِكِ الْأَرْضِ. But this is the presentation of the deeds. مَنْ نُوْقِشَ الْحِسَابِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عُذِّبْ. Whoever's account is taken in detail, they are questioned in detail about it, they will be punished. So the meaning of this is, they see their deeds in general, some of their bad deeds might be shown to them, but they don't get questioned in detail on every single thing. That is the hisab, which is yasir. That's the easy hisab. As for being questioned on every single thing, this is the person will be destroyed. And we just cover one more point. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا, and he will return to his family in Jannah. مَسْرُورًا, you will be in a state of happiness with what Allah Azza wa Jalla gave him when he took his book in his right hand. In the next tafsir class, inshaAllah ta'ala, we're going to talk about the people who receive their book. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِ, behind their back. And how do we join between the left hand and behind the back and so on? We talk about that. As for the one who receives the book in the right hand, as Allah said, what will they say? هَا أُمُقَرَأُ كِتَابِيَ, come and read my book. إِنِّي ظَلَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَ, I used to know for sure that I was going to meet this day. I prepared for this day. I was ready and I prepared in my life because I knew that I would meet him. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ, this person is in a happy, content life in a high paradise. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from those people. We ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for al-Firdaws al-A'la min al-Jannah, the highest place of Jannah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to teach us what will benefit us and to benefit us with what He teaches us and to increase us in knowledge and give us the ability to act. Okay. Do we have anyone still following on the YouTube with any questions?
So would the 70,000 also be required to go over the bridge in any question whatsoever?
The 70,000 who will enter Jannah min ghayri hisabin wala adab. The first question is, who are they, the 70,000? The Prophet ﷺ said about them, هُمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ وَلَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ وَلَا يَكْتُرُونَ وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ كما قال. He said, they are the people who do not seek ruqyah, and they do not believe in omens. You know, like the people used to believe before, like here in this country, if you walk under a ladder, something bad will happen. Or if you smash a mirror, something bad. Or if a black cat goes across you, this way it is bad, and if this way it is good. They don't believe in this. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, and they trust in Allah and rely upon Allah completely. These things that are mentioned are examples. They're not a complete list. The Prophet ﷺ gave an example of a people who have completed their iman even in the things which are voluntary. They have strived to complete their iman even in the voluntary deeds, the tatawwur. Those people who have complete reliance upon Allah and who are striving for the highest levels of iman, those people, the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned there are 70,000 يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ وَلَا عَذَابٍ, they will enter Jannah without any hisab, any account, or any adab, any punishment. What seems here is, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best, is that without any hisab, it doesn't stop the art, it doesn't stop the deeds being presented to them. But what it means is without any hisab, any without any niqash, without their deeds being, like without them getting the all of their deeds presented like that. And without any punishment. But they will still cross the sirat. Why? Because Allah said, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا, every single one of you is going to cross it. كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًا, it is something that has to happen and it has been decreed. ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَنَذَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيًا, then we will save those people who had taqwa. So from the 70,000 and other than the 70,000, they will cross, they will be safe. They will not get the punishment when they cross the sirat. They will cross quickly and safely. And as for the oppressors, they will be thrown into Jahannam on their knees. So it seems to me, and Allah knows best, the 70,000, what we know about them, they will not have any adab. So when they cross the Sirat, they will not have a punishment. When they go to the Qantara, they will not have anything punishment. When they go, have their deeds weighed, they will not have punishment. When they stand Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will not have punishment. And they will not have the detailed account. They will only have the presentation of the deeds, the ard, the hisab and yasira, the presentation of the deeds. And Allah knows best. Someone might say they're only 70,000. How do we, and the Sahaba who accompanied the Prophet ﷺ in Hajjat al-Wada' were 100,000 in number. So there's no room. 70,000, 100,000 Sahaba in Hajjat al-Wada', that's it. Where are we in comparison to them? But there are some narrations that mention that along with the 70,000 are 70,000 more. And with each one of the 70,000 will be 70,000 more. And some of them mention with those will be 70,000 more. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Did we have any questions from the brothers who are here that wanted to ask anything?
So who are those ones, the 70,000?
They are people who have complete reliance upon Allah and who are striving to complete their iman in voluntary deeds, not just doing what they have to do, but trying to reach the completeness of iman, which is mustahab, which is recommended. So for example, seeking ruqya is not haram. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ advised, هَلَّ اسْتَرْقَيْتِ, why don't you seek ruqya? But these people, they want to achieve such complete iman in the sight of Allah, and they want to be so close that they don't even want to seek ruqya because it will reduce the connection between them and Allah. So they have that complete trust and they have complete reliance and they are trying to complete their iman, not just in the wajib, but trying also to complete their iman in the mustahab as well. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. That's what Allah made easy for me to mention. And Allah knows best. Wa salatu wa salam ala bina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.